This morning, I want to talk about the journey of faith. And it is a journey. You know, we have a starting point, and then it's a long road in many ways, heading for a destination, clearly marked. We know where we're going. I mean, that's the whole idea. We go on the journey very intentionally. You choose it. It's I want to say it's not mandatory, but it sort of is. God gives us some choices, some good ones and some bad ones. He sets before us good and evil and life and death, and encourages us to choose life, that you may live forever. We will live forever somewhere. The other place, not so good. Described as an emptiness, outer darkness. That's not good. But the decision is ours. God has already decided that he's not willing any should perish, but all should come to the truth, eternal life. Has no pleasure, he says, in the death of the wicked in Ezekiel 18. So, God is good. And he's willing to help us on that journey, on that choice. It's not something you can do by yourself. We need help. We're going to talk about that. One psalm that hit me a long time ago, I like it. It's Psalms 27. And King David wrote this, Psalms 27, verse 8. David said, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart," not my intellect, "my operating system, everything I am, my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" I'm going to throw this in because I'm going to refer to it later. Verse 10 says, it's part of the context. "When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." This is a transition. There's a time, the Bible makes it pretty clear, mom and dad are supposed to be raising up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6 would say. But, you know, in the world, you know, that's not necessarily the case. But because let's be realistic. Step back and look at the whole world, and really, how many of them have knowledge of God? Don't. You know, not. The Bible teaches us most people do what is right in their own eyes. Even with all the good intentions, they start out maybe wanting to do the right thing, but then they get all hosed up, you know what I mean? They make a mess of their lives, and it's like, what the heck, you know? Don't know what you're doing. I mean, I know that's where I came from, and I pretty much know most of you did. Same thing. So, there's a way, the proverb says, it seems right to a person, but the end of the ways of death. Because you cannot know intuitively what you're doing or where you're going. Enter God. He's way ahead of us. This has been the plan since the foundation of the world, so don't feel bad when you realize, well, I've screwed my life all up. Of course you did. What else were you going to do? How can you know what you don't know? I didn't know. I know now. Because I didn't know there was what kind of information was in the Bible. I didn't know you were supposed to seek for God, feel for God, and find God. I didn't know that until I read it. But it was always true because God was always there. He created you, knew you before you were born, fashioned you, formed you in the womb. Knew your days, the Bible says, before you even lived one of them. How about that? We got so much evidence about this God and his existence. God built it into the creation. If you really want to know and you want physical evidence, it's there. Because there's things in the Bible about this earth that nobody could have known when that was written thousands of years ago. We know it now. They didn't know it. We know a whole lot about this earth and the solar system and the whatever. But anyway, I'm going to go off on the tangent, but I'll shut up. I don't want to do that. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Now, I can remember reading that a long time ago, even in the beginnings of my faith journey, and I knew this is pretty clear from the scripture, especially out of Exodus 33, Exodus 34. God made it clear, nobody can see my face and live. Nobody. Jesus makes it pretty clear in the New Testament, God is invisible and ain't nobody ever seen his face. And you're not going to. Well, then why would he tell us seek it? I realized then, he's talking about something here, a process, a journey, that if you're willing to go on it like you're literally looking to find somebody, you will find him. But he's not going to have eyeballs and all this, you know, a face. It's not a physical face you are looking for, but he calls us, seek my face, which means know me. Know who I am. You can do that, is what he's saying. You can feel for me and find me. I think of Big John 17. You got to know the verse, Big John 17, verse 4. In Big John 17, Jesus is praying this high priestly prayer because he's going to be taken very soon and killed. He's wrapping it up. He's going over it with the Lord, the Father. He said, I'm coming home, coming home. You sent me down here to do your will, and I've done it. I've given your word to the guys you gave to me. So he says right here, I said verse 4, it's verse 3. And this is eternal life, Jesus prays. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. You seek for God's face, and you find God's face, you're going to live forever. This is eternal life, that they know you and your Son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent. I shouldn't have turned you away. I should have left you back there in the Psalms for a second, because I want Psalm 17. Guess what David said? He knew what would happen if he found God's face. The end of Psalm 17, verse 15, David says, and as for me, I will see your face in righteousness, and I will be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Remember in the Genesis account, way back, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. You know, that's been God's plan since the beginning. Those whom God foreknew, he predestined, they would be conformed to the image, character of his Son, that he, Jesus, would be the firstborn of many. See, we're talking about a journey that's absolutely what we're called to do, and we can. It's well within our power, our ability, with God's help, because that's the plan, and it always was the plan since the foundation of the world. That's pretty intentional. Always was his plan. I mean, the Bible couldn't be clearer. Jesus said himself, God is a spirit. Don't be looking for a physical face. That's how much you're looking for. You will know him if you go on this journey. Now, what I want to kind of zero in a little bit today I said the journey, I said long. Nothing's long down here. For the Bible makes it clear. The days of our lives, 70 and 10, Moses said, 70 years, and if you're strong, 80 years, we're still cut off when we fly away. David said, our lives are nothing in your sight. All my days, David curled up and died at 70. It's a handbreadth, a shadow of turning, a vapor. James says the same thing. Our lives are just a vapor, appeared for a little while and gone. And when our mothers and fathers have to hand us over, there's a time when the kid is under the total control of the parents according to God. They're accountable to you, mom and dad, but then there is a handoff. As they enter toward that age of accountability, they're going to slide under their accountability, and their responsibility is going to be to God, their creator. Mom and dad ain't going to have nothing to say about it now. I mean, we'll always, that's okay. I'm talking about families that are not so dysfunctional. You might want to come home and see mom and dad once in a while. And, mom and dad are always going to be there for you, but they are not going to be the ones you're going to be accountable for the rest of your life. They're not your judge. They are supposed to, raise you up with good, principles, and maybe a lot of folks, they had good, decent parents that took care of them and loved them and did provide. But again, they can't give what they ain't got. And if they didn't know the Lord, they couldn't give you that. They might have took you to church or something. But that's not, the whole package deal here. But where I'm going to be going, and some of you have been kind of watching The Chosen, it really brings out the nuance. The scripture, one of the evidences of inspiration is the brevity of scripture. One-liners, powerful, but there's a whole lot of stuff in the middle. God does not give us by inspiration what you can know empirically or by reasoned experience and observation. He doesn't need to give you all that. You get that from reason, experience, and observation. That's why they give you a brain. We learn a whole lot, but the brevity of the scripture, well, that just means it's brief. But all these people had backstories, and these things are true. And what I get a kick out of when I watch The Chosen is the look on the apostles' faces half the time when Jesus is teaching them specifically, exactly the way it's written in the scripture, short, sweet, to the point, and they're sitting around the table looking at him, not understanding what is he talking about. And it says they did not, in the Bible it says, they did not understand how he meant that. And they were afraid to ask him because they were going to know. And what I'm submitting to you, this is where I'm going. I used the kids for an example a minute ago. When you as a parent have had to let the kids head out there because they graduated, let's say, high school normally. Let's just say normally. Kids reach a certain age, let's just say 18, roughly, graduate high school. They're supposed to be, maybe have some plans, maybe to get married. You might think, oh, gee whiz, I don't know about the. And you realize how clueless they are. And you might not like that guy that she wants to get married to, or that woman or girl. And you're in a panic. Or they want to get a job. They got this big idea of getting this job. And they got all these big ideas. Or they want to go on to higher education, on to school. And you're thinking, okay. And you wonder, I don't know about that today. But all I'm saying, you have to let them go. Because they're going to go. So they start out in life, and all you can think of is how clueless they are. But it is the way of all the earth. And probably I would say most of you, it's exactly what you did. you headed out the door, man, like almost like the prodigal son, thinking he was ready. Give me that inheritance, man. I know what I'm doing. And they're trying to, you know, cool your jets, you know. And you're thinking, no, I got this. And you're thinking, you have no idea. Even back to the stewardship there, asking the question, James and John, Lord, got a request, wants you to grant it. Yeah, what's that? Well, in your kingdom, when it comes, we grant us a week and say, one on the right, one on the left. And Rick brought out, I think, that in that chosen, Jesus looked at them, and he was irritated. And he said, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink of that cup that I'm about? Because he'd been warning them what's going to happen to him at Jerusalem. They're going to take me. They're going to beat me up. They're going to scourge. They're going to kill me. The Son of Man. And they're like looking at him, who are you talking about? And Matthew says, aren't you the Son of Man? And Jesus just looks at him. It's like, this stuff been going over there. Now granted, it says they didn't know, because he was not being super specific. He realized, he told them, you will know later. But just like I said about the kids, there is no way as you, as a parent, can get your child when they're ready to think and they're going to go at 18 and still give them enough information. Look, this is what it's going to be like, and them really take it in and understand what you mean and be fully prepared now to deal with everything they're going to run into out there. It ain't happening. Appreciated yesterday, DJ and Kristen did their vow renewal, and Troy did a great job. But it caused me and Troy and Sandy and Sue to, we would reminisce to how far back our families go together. All the way back, I remember being up to the hospital and when Sandy was trying to have, you know, Taylor, she had complications, and we were up there. Man, we were all young and all this, and now here's Taylor with kids and all grown up and with children. So coming together for this vow renewal, it takes us all the way back to all our life experience and how long the journey was. And then to hear DJ and Kristen even talk a little bit about all what they've learned too through the years. And you realize it's just simply the way of all the earth. Nobody goes out of into adulthood. You may be legally able to drive, get a job, get married, and do all that stuff, and you're taking on all these responsibilities. Well, where are you going to learn all that information? You're going to learn as you go into life. This journey of seeking God, the unseen God, is going to be what will change you by the time you see his face. And I'm not talking about in the resurrection on the last day. The whole thrust of Scripture is you are to be able to seek and find him now, still, in this life before you leave here, and then you are prepared. When you see kids coming back to their parents, especially hauling their youngins with them, you know, like people have well said, you know, they realize that the older they get, the smarter their parents get. Because now they start to realize, this is what you were trying to tell me 25 years ago when I really thought I knew what I was doing. Well, when did they finally realize what you were telling them? After making a whole bunch of mistakes, suffering for it, straightening it out, paying the price. Thought it was touching. DJ made the point. In his life, there were two men that really made a difference in his life. And one was me, for one aspect. He didn't listen to me then. I must be one of them that's gotten smarter now. Because he realizes that's what I was trying to tell him. And it was Jerry Adams. Jerry pulled him under his arm and taught him how to fix things and do all kinds of stuff, and took him on those truck driving things, and he had Jerry's Bible up on the podium that Troy was using because that was his way of bringing Jerry present, because DJ's looking back on how much he's learned through the years and where did it all begin. Remember, like the scripture said, train up the child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. The indication is you kind of come back to your roots. Roots. Like, you got a good name, Tim. We all do that. We look back, we reflect, and we realize it was the journey that brought me where I am now. With all the tough times, the ups and downs, mistakes, bouncing back. That's why Jesus, when he left this earth, when you think about it, scripture bears it out. One of the last things he did was upbraid them for their hardness of heart and unbelief. My personal thought is, as he was going through the clouds, it's like, Father, I hope these guys, you know, they're pretty dim down there. I hope this works. I'm just kidding. In John chapter 12, Jesus said at the end of his life, John 16, verse 12. John 16 and verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He's leaving, and he knows he hasn't given them everything. And he says, because you can't bear it now. I like how Tim Woodruff, that was here, that unpackaged the Spirit for the rest of us, brought out from that context, he said they still had limited capacity to understand. That's really what we run into with our own young people. We realize you can't tell them enough before they go out the door to prepare them for everything they're going to run into out there because they don't have the capacity for it. And what's going to happen is life experience is going to stretch the fabric of their mind so they can take in more information. If they apply themselves, if they're lazy bums and don't want to do nothing, their little mind is going to stay little. They ain't never going to learn nothing. And that won't end well. They won't do well here, and they won't do well there. We need to grow. The Bible makes it clear we need to grow spiritually in our understanding, going from milk of the Word to meat of the Word as babes in Christ. This whole journey is what there's a place where you start, and then you got to go through 1,000 miles, 1,000 meters, as I've used as an example in Cuba, the fence line, of no man's land, dangerous. It's all mined by the enemy. If you want to get to freedom, if you want to get to the Naval Air Station, where that light is a beacon on top of, at the Naval Air Station, those Cubans would try to cross across the no man's land from the communist side to the American sector towards that light, that rotating beacon at the Naval Air Station. If they could get there, and if the Marines captured them before they stepped on a landmine on our side and got them turned into the S4 intelligence guys, they'd be vetted, they'd be sent to either Louisiana or Florida into a refugee camp and given $1,500 and a start in the land flowing with milk and honey. Or they stepped on a mine crossing the communist sector, tripped a tripwire, and then the Cuban army would open up with machine guns and try to kill them. It's dangerous. That's why so many people, they want to go, they know where they're at, but somehow they never seem to find their way because they get all sidetracked, give up, quit, like the parable of the sower says, and they never achieve the goal. You got to hang in there. And all the young people have now, you realize there's a lot of pitfalls out there. Some of them make a lot of mistakes, you know, screw up with the first 2 or 3 marriages, you know, and they have to keep coming back. Some just disappear, gone. Self-destructive behaviors.
ruin their lives.
This place is dangerous. And it scares you as parents when you see they got to go. But Jesus told them, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear it now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, there is help and hope. But he literally left them. Now he told them, if I flip a page back, I am not going to leave you orphans. Because he was telling them when you watch it play out, but what I'm getting at was the look on their faces. Sometimes we read over scripture, but we don't put any emotion in it. You just think, okay, you said that, but you got to literally put yourself there. These are real people. And we have to talk to real people. If we're going to take this good news, now it's our turn. We have to make it real and relevant in our lives in order to be able to sit down with people right now whose whole world just blew up. And they're desperate for hope or for answers. And we're the go-to people now. We need to use this because there ain't no counsel that you carry. You know, like, that's worldly counsel. That people do care about other people, try to help me, but the best thing is can't give them what you ain't got. If they have no knowledge of God or the purpose of this life and what they were created for and how all this works in this very dark and dangerous place, what are you going to talk? I'm not saying like you guys. I'm just saying those people out there, the counselors, the world, the counselors today do not have the answer. This is the only place God, the Creator, the one who made them, has the answer. Sometimes you got to take the car back to the dealer, the most dreaded words in the whole world. You know, you got a guy that normally fixes your car pretty good, but he says, you're going to have to take this to the dealer. And you're thinking, oh, no, not the dealer. They're the ones that can fix it. They made it. They're expensive, too. That's why you don't want to go. Pay the man. Get it fixed. Got to go see God. But he's for free. He ain't going to charge you. You want it? Come on. Seek my face. Seek my face. That journey after my mother and father forsake you, he'll lift you up. This is his plan. I will not leave you orphans. In a little while, the world ain't going to see me no more. You'll see me because I live. You'll see me also. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. He said, I will come to you. Now, they did not understand that. He didn't make it real clear right there. He just said it. Is it true? Yeah, it's true. Well, how are you going to understand that? Well, you got to read the rest of the scripture. You actually have to read the epistles. Jesus is gone. He leaving. And he does. He goes. And leaves them standing there with their mouths hanging open, looking up in the sky. And some angels showed up and says, what are you guys standing here looking with your mouth open? He who departed into the clouds is returning the same way when the time comes. But in the rest of their physical lifetime, he didn't. I think somebody already brought up, maybe it was this morning. Roughly, the apostles lived a full... Well, let's just say this. The apostle Paul was an apostle. He was a Johnny-come-lately. In other words, he was not one of the original 12. But after the stoning of Stephen in Acts 7, it says... There was a ringleader holding the coats, guarding the coats of the individual, stoning Stephen to death, and they laid their coats at his feet because he's watching the coats. And it says they laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. That's Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. Then when you fast forward in your New Testament in the epistles, when he writes to Philemon, the Apostle Paul now, no longer Saul of Tarsus, Apostle Paul, he refers to himself in verse 9, because you know, Philemon is only one chapter. I mean, it's flaming. Verse 9. He referred to himself as now I, Paul, the aged. The aged. They say he had at least 40 years in this ministry, in the physical sense, on this earth, encouraging saints all over, you know, Europe. God used him. Those guys went from being young men to dying. Some younger, older than others. James was killed by Herod, probably fairly young. Then he tried to kill Peter. You guys know the stories. What I'm saying is, when Jesus left, he left. They didn't see him on the weekends. He didn't pop in and out. He gave them the spirit of truth. Guess what you and I have, pilgrims? These words, Jesus said, are spirit in their life. And you have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit if you're born again. And that spirit bears witness with our spirit. We are children of God. And it strengthens the inner man. He is still here. The Lord, it says in Matthew 28, you know, the Great Commission, you know, go make disciples of the nation, teaching them to observe all things what I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Right there in Matthew chapter 28, the very last verse, lo, I'm with you always. Remember, he said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm coming back. And he said, you know who the Holy Spirit is because he's been with you. Guess who the Holy Spirit is? It's him. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He did not leave them orphans. But it's not perceived in a physical sense because it doesn't even have to be. He didn't leave us with the lesser. He left us with the greater. He said, it's to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. Because it's going to be him. When he was on earth, if he was ministering or teaching them in Galilee, he wasn't in Nazareth. And if he was in Nazareth, he wasn't down in Capernaum. He couldn't be in five places at once when he was in the flesh. But in the Spirit, Spirit of Christ is in you and you and you and in Oleg and Brother Min in Vietnam and, you know, Abney and Kosovo. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Who could have thought such a plan as this? That blows your mind. But the journey for all is to seek him. He's with us. He said, I won't leave you orphans. You're not on your own down there flapping around in the breeze. Seek my face. Know me. Because you can. The Bible tells us in Exodus 33, when God put Moses in the cleft of the rock, Moses said to God flat out, please show me your glory. That's what Moses, again, got to kind of a thing to say, show me your glory. And God responded to Moses, nobody can see my face and live. But I will put you in this cleft of the rock. I'll cover you with my hand. I will pass by, and you will see all my goodness. God equates his goodness with his glory. And when you actually look at that and compare, because see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he teaches us and tells us, Paul does, he uses this context out of Exodus 33. He says that when you, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, where are you going to see the glory of the Lord? He said, as you behold as in a mirror, the scriptures identified as the mirror, you read and you turn every page of your Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, what do you see? The all of God's goodness. So when he stood with them, and he stood with Moses, he said, I'm putting you in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to stand by you there. Now in Exodus 34, he actually does it. The Lord descended in the cloud, verse 5, stood with him there, proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed by and proclaimed, the Lord God merciful, the Lord God gracious, the Lord God long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, the Lord God keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. By no means just clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the father upon the children and children's children to the third and fourth generation. Moses hit the deck. And when he came down from the mountain, it says his face was shining so brightly. He didn't even know his face was shining, but the children of Israel saw him coming down that mountain. Probably looked like he had the sun on his shoulders, and they were backing up like, what happened to his face? The Apostle Paul, using that exact same story in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, says, guess what, pilgrims? The same thing will happen to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The Lord is the Spirit, verse 17, the Lord is the Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. I will be in you. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. Now the life I now live in my flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. Colossians 1:27, the mystery is, dun, 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 Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Apostle Paul says right there in verse 17, 2 Corinthians 3 and 17, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, freedom. From what? Free from yourself. Free from your old man. Free from your destructive behavior. That's what he's come to set you free from, yourself. But we all, Paul says, with an unveiled face, beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. All his goodness. Remember, Moses said, show me your glory. God said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. Equating his glory with his goodness, which you can see. See what? His mercy. Which abounds forever. His love, his kindness, his forgiveness, patience, and his justice are being, he said, if we behold with an unveiled face in the mirror, in the scripture, the glory of the Lord, you're going to be transformed. Paul said, you're going to be transformed. Into what? The same image, same likeness. As what? The image of God, image of Christ, from glory to glory. By what means? Spirit of the Lord. He just said the Lord is Spirit. I quoted earlier Romans 8:29, those whom God foreknew, he predestined that we would be conformed into the image character of his Son. That's what that says, that he, Jesus, would be the firstborn of many. Now, is our face going to shine like the noonday sun on our shoulders? No. But guess what? Jesus said, you are the salt of the world, or the salt of the earth, the light of the world. That's just a quote out of Matthew 5, out of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, let your light so shine that men would see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth. Verse 13. You are the light of the world. Verse 14. Light of the world. A city that's sitting on a hill, he said, you can't hide it. Nor do people light a lamp and then go put it under a basket. They put it on a lampstand, he said. It gives light to everyone coming in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Do you realize those good works can be seen by other people? They see it in you. They know you're different. Hey, man, you losing weight. You seem different. No, I'm actually getting heavier. They notice something going on. Because it's Christ in you producing something. A life change. That's what they're supposed to see. And they can't. It's actually visible, physically visible, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It was brought out this morning. You don't have to wait till you're dead and going to heaven to be blessed by what God intended for you as His children. It actually starts the day you start seeking His. If you're born again, you know, I've used my own self as an example. Almost immediately, I had benefits from giving up the old lifestyle, especially doing a lot of drinking, you know. I didn't have hangovers anymore. Sue wasn't mad at me in the morning the next day for being a fool. Easy. Easy. I had more money, honey. Because I wasn't blowing it. Man, the blessings can start right away by that transformational power. But it's a long road. You will learn. That's why He left them. Do you realize those guys learned more in the 40 years they were following Him through all the trials that He told them you're going to go through? That is what refined them, strengthened them, changed their attitudes about a ton of things, because they had to go through the process of that transformation as well. They had attitudes. The Bible brings that out. They had pettiness. They had bickering amongst their own ranks. Guarantee you what, by the end of their lives, those guys were wired together. It changed them. You grow so much. And why Troy and I and Sandy and Sue were reminiscing about how clueless we all were so many years ago when we were all young. I know Jeff and Charlotte just took off, but man, they had a boatload of kids, man. The first time I met them, going to their house to get a bat out of there, I didn't know who they were. I said, man, this woman was something else, man. She had all these kids all hanging all over, man, and pregnant too, I said. We look back and laugh now. And boy, how much we all learned and grew together through all these years. That's why when you let your kids go out the door as parents, you know they have no idea what they're getting themselves into, but there's nothing you can do about it. You might say, I have many things yet to say to you, but you don't have any capacity. I don't know what to tell you. They'll learn. It'll make or break them. But He left them. But He did give them a comforter to go alongside. But it wasn't another physical presence of somebody like Him. In fact, at the table in their little chosen thing, they're around the Lord's table. They go, well, if you're going to send somebody else, we want you. They kept telling them, we want you. We don't want you to go anywhere. Well, they didn't get another helper that was wearing skin. The helper they got was Him in the Spirit dwelling in them. You look up, folks, it ain't going to get any better than that. Because then all things through Christ are possible for you. The Apostle Paul said it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And he was going through a whole lot of physical stuff, as we all have. I know from the faces of builders, you, I've known through the years, some of your trials and tribulations that you've been through. But we've certainly had our fair share, you know, going through all that. You looking at me for, my own? Life is tough, man. There's tragedies, there's sorrow, there's sadness, but for us there's always hope. So I'm out of time this morning. He said, lo, I'll be with you always. I was going to roll into the highway of holiness and how God says, I will be with you and I will lead you and I will show you. And that's exactly what He does. Maybe we'll build on that later. But for now, we go through the very same physical processes of this life's journey, refining and changing us as we will as Christians. You'll begin small, milk of the word, basics, clueless. He left them like that. And he leaves you and me the same way. You start here and you begin. But you are not alone. So thank you for your attention this morning. Let's stand and be dismissed with a word of prayer.